Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.
This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Sarah D'Elia, in for Mike Collins. It's been quite the year for Carolina Ascent FC in their inaugural season. The team is at the top of the standings in the new USL Super League heading into their postseason matchup with Fort Lauderdale United FC on Sunday. Later in the program, we'll be joined by Ashley Mahoney, reporter at Axios, and Steve Goldberg, who covers Charlotte's four professional soccer teams for the Charlotte Post's Queen City Football Chronicle. But before we get their perspectives on the Ascent season, we start off with a conversation with Vicky Bruce and Jenna Butler, two defenders for the Carolina Ascent. Part of the success the team has experienced this year is credited to their back line. We started off by asking Vicky Bruce, who grew up in Cornelius and attended Davidson College, what it's like to play in front of a home crowd and the pressure that can come with it.
It's been amazing to start. The beginning of the season was like such a high for me as a player, for us as a team. I think we went like 11 games undefeated. So we just started off really strong. And I loved that I had all these friends and family able to come watch me play. And, you know, I hadn't had that in almost 10 years because I've been playing overseas. But I was just so excited to have them all there and support me. And then after the break, since then, I've actually been dealing a little bit with an injury, so I've been kind of frustrated that I haven't been playing much, and I feel guilty in a way and a sense of not ashamed per se, but I just want to give more because they've given me so much throughout my life and throughout my career that I feel bad that I'm not able to really produce right now. So it's been a little bit harder for me the second half of the season, taking more of a back step and kind of supporting from the sidelines.
Yeah. And how are you? Do you mind telling us what that injury is?
I mean, it was a foot injury. So it was just kind of, I think, turf and overuse, not getting any younger. So, yeah, but it's definitely better. And I'm happy with where I'm at now. So that's good.
Good to hear that. Well, you've been here since the start. I believe you were the first signing for the team. From your perspective, how has this group been evolving over the last year?
We have evolved. I mean, every single day, I'd say we came in and preseason was very tough on our bodies, on our brains. And we didn't really know what to expect because, you know, new league, new season, new players. None of us had ever really played together before. And after those first 11 games or so, we kind of realized, wow, we definitely have something good here. We just might not have known how good. And then we always kind of struggled in the fall, I'd say, with scoring and getting on the table. We knew we had all of the tools, per se, to kind of get the job done, but we weren't necessarily clicking in the ways we needed to. And then after that Christmas break and come back in for preseason part two, and then the second half of the season, I think we all gelled even better together, and you were able to really kind of highlight our individual strengths, which then helped our team strengths. And then everything was just clicking left and right. And then we had a ton of games in the middle there where we had, you know, 3, 4, 5 goals every single game. And it was so nice to kind of finally feel like everything came together the way it was supposed to.
Yeah. We're going to get into the kind of the flow of the season a little bit more, but since you brought it up just now, I'll turn to you, Jenna, in a second, but I'll start with you, Vicky. How do you keep that momentum going in a season like this where there are lots of breaks and kind of start stops? I mean, is that an extra challenge to playing in this particular league?
Yeah, I'll say that is a huge challenge. We actually had some moments where we did the worst after like a little break. So we might have had a weekend off or a couple weeks without a game. And we were always trying to do scrimmages and stuff on the side to make sure we're staying sharp and in shape. But for some reason, it's just so much about ebb and flow and just kind of, you know, what's on any given day, the best team and the worst team competing, anything can happen. So it was difficult to kind of play every single game with a target on our back, I'd say. I think from the start, other teams kind of recognized we'd be a very big competitor, and they knew that, and they kind of approached every game as they had nothing to lose, and we definitely felt that for a bit.
Jenna, you're an NC State University alum and former NWSL player for the Washington Spirit. What drew you back to this area?
Yes. So, I mean, I went to NC State and I loved North Carolina. And so I always kind of wanted to come back here at some point. I never really had like a set plan or time frame, but I did move to Charlotte after college for a little bit. And so I had known some of the girls and had lived in the area, and I loved how big of a sports city it was here. So when the opportunity came about to come back to Charlotte, I was super excited and jumped on it. I was really looking forward to coming back to this city.
That's cool. I didn't know that.
Well, Jenna, you've played, which I think this is interesting, and you both have played in different leagues in different parts of the world. But sticking with you, Jenna, for a second, talk about the difference between the leagues. You've played for the National Women's Soccer League and now the USL Super League. What are the big differences? I feel like a lot of people that are new to the Carolina Ascent, like that's one of the questions that are on their minds is how is this league different?
It's kind of a that can be hard to answer in a way, in terms of you're coming from a league that fought to be where it's at now. It's developed, it's growing and still growing. And I mean, the end of the season with the Washington Spirit, we were selling out matches. And so that's, you know, a stadium of almost 20,000 people, but it didn't start that way at all. And so now I'm coming to a new league, and we're coming to a new league. And so you're going to see a little bit of the differences there where people are kind of feeling you out. We're feeling each other out, you know, everything's new. So it's a little bit hard to compare because you're going from kind of almost, I don't know if veteran league is the right term, to a brand new league. But I do think that here at Carolina Ascent, they've done a really good job of just trying to implement a good environment for everybody from the top down. Like, it's just a very welcoming atmosphere. They put a lot of time and effort into giving us the resources we need. And so I think that's been a big similarity almost in a way in terms of how much was put into the Washington Spirit and the resources there, and then to come here and see how much they're trying to put into the Carolina Ascent. That's a good similarity that I've noticed.
And you were signed onto the team this year. What were your initial impressions when you first started playing with Carolina Ascent?
The initial impression I'd say is just the environment that the girls created was so great. I mean, what an atmosphere to come into, what a sports city to come play for. It's just been really fun to see how many people want to come support and to have people at every game. And then also to come into a team where the girls are all friends and we all treat each other with so much respect and we've got a great thing going. So just to come into a team that did well in the fall. There's still, obviously, now the Shield has been won and we've got more to play for, but that was just, it was what an honor to come into a team that had already worked so hard and done so much and just kept the momentum going.
Yeah. Vicky, you've played all over the world. How and where you play, the style of play can be very different. So how does overseas soccer play and women's soccer differ from the type of soccer that you're playing right now? Or is it similar?
Oh, that's a tough question. It is very different everywhere in the world. And I think US is my ninth country I've played in. Wow. So I will say a lot of Scandinavia, they were on the like taller, stronger side naturally. And they were all playing from such a young age. So they were really good. But then in places like England, you know, football is literally life. So they were playing from diapers, I'm sure, and watch it, you know, every second of every day when they're not playing. So the technical level from a lot of those players was just out of this world. And then obviously, you know, I grew up playing in America and I've loved playing here. And you have like the youth system and then the college system, and then you have, you know, these two great leagues. So it's kind of hard to compare. I think all the leagues just have their own tiny little differences, but overall you just have these amazing group of athletes and soccer players and girls that just kind of give their all.
Well, part of Carolina's success this year has been on the back of its defense. The club has given up less than a goal per game and has posted 12 clean sheets, which is when there's a shutout from their opponent. You both have been credited with the back line, your defenders. How do you create that good defensive chemistry? And I'll start with you, Vicky.
I will say it is tough because throughout the year we've had some injuries in the back line. So we've kind of all played with each other, I think, Jen. And we've all been pretty adaptable in the sense of, you know, it doesn't matter who's to your left, who's to your right. You just know what's expected of you, know what the job is. And obviously we all want to work together and not let that ball get in the back of the goal. Just a lot of talking, a lot of communicating, and a lot of really trusting your partner. So whether it's Jenna next to me or Sue next to me, if I'm in the middle, you know, I had to just know like they had my back with any tackle or any decision I made, whether it was right or wrong, I knew that, you know, they would cover me. And having that belief in each other, I think helped us to take a little bit more risks. And then with that, we were able to gel even quicker and kind of get those slight advantages over other back lines, maybe with more clean sheets.
Yeah. And Jenna, same question for you. How do you feel that that chemistry is created and maintained, especially coming into the team this year?
Yeah, I feel like early on when I first joined, my biggest focus was the off-field chemistry and kind of gelling with each other. Because like Vicky said, there's been changes and people in and out, injuries that happen. So just trying to be on the same page and be in a good, have a good connection off the field was important first for me. And then coming onto the field and kind of just learning them first, seeing how they play, understanding their style so that I could try to come in and while I might have a unique style or play differently, at least there's a way to make it gel. And so a big part of that also on the field was the communication. And I feel like we do a really good job of communicating amongst everybody, whoever plays back there and keepers included. So I just think the communication piece, the off-field chemistry has helped a lot with the on-field chemistry.
Yeah, you bring up the off-field chemistry. How do you build that off the field?
Well, we all live right across the sidewalk from each other for the most part. So like tonight, I'm going to walk across, literally I can see the girls' place right now. I'm just going to go watch some TV with them later. So I think just we're always trying to find things to do. I know people went and grabbed coffee today. People go see movies sometimes. So I think there's just little plans and here and there. Just maybe you're not talking and you're just hanging out, but at least you're in each other's presence, you know? So just trying to find little time in our day and our busy schedule to be around each other.
That's great. Well, there are a lot of options, as we've discussed, about where a player can play. There's the USL Super League, there's the NWSL, there's overseas in Europe. I was wondering, getting ready for the show, is the goal of your career tied with the league that you're pursuing? Is that like, is there an ultimate league or location that's going to help you get to a certain spot in your career that you're thinking of when you're, you know, thinking about your long-term career and where you might move to next?
I think for me and Jenna, we're probably like opposites in this because she's at the beginning of her career and I'm more towards the end of mine. So I'd say playing overseas in the beginning, you know, right out of college, I had no idea what to expect and didn't know kind of what was reasonable to try to achieve and attain. And I just took it, you know, season by season, like, okay, if I'm starting in this level, if I'm starting from the bottom, I just want to move to a little bit better league, a little bit better league, a little bit better league. And as I've gotten older, it's kind of been like, okay, this is possible. This is possible. Let's chase that. Let's chase that and just take it one step at a time. And for me coming here, I didn't really think much about the future. I was just thinking I finally get to come home. So I'd already won 3 league titles overseas and was, you know, playing the sport I love, but having all these kind of difficulties and struggling with being so far from, you know, all the people I loved, to then come here. And I didn't really know what to expect. But then in our first year, we've already won the Shield. So that was amazing. So it's like, wow, now I've done that. So that's attainable. So now let's win playoffs, because then that could be the next thing that you want to do. And then, oh, maybe I can get best 11. So it's kind of, I take it like league by league, team by team. But I also know realistically what might be more possible for me than others. Whereas someone like Jen, I mean, she's great. She's got the world ahead of her. I'm excited to see where her career goes.
And we'll hear Jenna's answer to that question after the break. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE.
Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, using Mazda's customer-centric approach to cars to create a car buying and servicing experience where the customer is the center of their business. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.
This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Sarah D'Elia, in for Mike Collins. We're talking about career ambitions players have within the various leagues they aspire to play in. Here's Carolina Ascent defender Jenna Butler.
I just always look at questions similar to that, as it's very individualized. It's kind of hard to speak for every player, and everyone has different goals. They're at different spots in their career. They have different ideas of what they're looking for long term. So for example, some people might say, you know, I just want to be close to home. And I don't care what league I'm in, I just want to be at the spot that's going to get me there because that's where my heart is. And then others might say, I just want to go to the best team possible, whatever that is in their mindset or in their frame of mind. So, you know, it just differs from player to player. And right now, since how Vicky mentioned, I am pretty new in my career. I just am enjoying where I'm at and feeling it out. And I loved being with the Spirit. It was a great experience. I was close to home. But now I'm back in Charlotte and the girls are great. And I'm also happy to be here. So it's kind of just depending on what suits you in the time frame. And, you know, if you're unhappy, then you look for the next environment. So, But yeah, different coaches have different ideas. And it's going to suit different players differently. Yeah. Lots of difference. So just finding that environment that you gel in and that actually you feel at home, you're comfortable, you're in your groove as a player, I think is really important.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Jenna, you mentioned that you were happy where you were with the Washington Spirit. What is it like to kind of have to, I don't know, like, what do you have to mentally shift to be like, okay, that chapter is closed and I'm going to be equally excited to be over here now? Like, is that some mental gymnastics that you have to go through, or is that an easy flip to switch?
Personally, I love change. I love taking on new environments, new experiences. So for me, it wasn't anything too hard to grasp. And I was still brand new in my career. That was my first professional environment. So I didn't expect that to be a long-term, I'm here for 10 plus years kind of thing. I expected that there's going to be changes and I'm going to be in a new environment sooner or later. And who knows here? I mean, you never know where your career is going to take you. It's volatile. So I think leaving the Spirit and coming here wasn't super hard mentally, and it didn't take a lot of grasping, but I could definitely see why, you know, that it could have been a more difficult thing to grasp as a new player. But no, I mean, it was a good change for me. And, you know, I have a lot of friends there and I have a lot of friends here. So it was a good shift.
Yeah. Well, I want to make sure that we talk about representation in sports because it matters. And I personally remember being about 12 watching Brandi Chastain score the winning penalty in the 1999 FIFA Women's World Cup. Oh, gosh. Jenna, no. But it made a lasting impression. It meant a lot to see someone like you doing something that you aspire to do. And I know there are lots of young girls who come and watch y'all play. How do you take that in? What does that mean to you as a player? And Vicky, I'll start with you.
Great question. For me, I have loved this sport my entire life. And to think of all the sacrifices that I've made to make this possible and to make it this far. You know, you mentioned people watching Brandi Chastain and being so excited about that. That was 99. And then we had a women's league for a little bit, but then it folded. So I've been playing the sport not knowing remotely, like, what was even a possibility. You know, professional leagues weren't necessarily a thing growing up. So I didn't really have that many people to look up to. I just was doing it because I loved it. And that kind of got me to where I am now. You know, unfortunately, as female athletes, we don't make that much money compared to the men. So you're really doing it for the love of the sport. But our reward, at least in my opinion, is being able to kind of pave the way for future generations of girls and soccer players. And for me, when I'm playing or in any country, it didn't matter where, to see little girls, little boys, families in the stands watching us and to see how much they genuinely cared and to see them, their eyes glowing if we ever signed an autograph or took a photo with them. Like, they made me feel so important and valued, and like I was kind of changing their life, even though in my eyes they were kind of changing mine. So it just is really cool to kind of watch it full circle and see now that we are actually the people that we used to idolize growing up. And so we have this platform that we can use for good.
Yeah. And Jenna, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, it really does mean everything. You know, sometimes you can get focused on why you want to play for yourself, but it's so much bigger than yourself. It's so much bigger than me as an individual on the field, because then after the game, like how Vicky said, mentioning that, you know, maybe they're seeing you and you're changing their life or their world or whatever, but really they're changing us. They have a huge effect on us, seeing the little girls, how excited they are. I just remember the first time I was asked to sign an autograph like, this is the coolest thing ever. Like, she thinks I'm cool, but I think she's cool. It was just an awesome experience. And I know Vic mentioned that I wasn't born when Brandi Chastain had her rip the shirt off penalty kick, but I did end up I did ODP and played against her team when I was in high school, and it was the coolest experience. I just looked up to her so much. Got to meet her after the game. It was very brief, but still, it's just those are lasting impacts. It had been almost 20 years, I guess, since that PK shootout, but she had a lasting impact on people, you know? And so, whether I have like a short-term impact or a long-term impact, it just having just meeting the fans, the girls, boys, everybody who look up to us is just really fun.
Yeah. And for those of us that, for those of you that are listening along on the radio and can't see us, both Vicky and I, our jaws dropped when Jenna mentioned that she got to meet and play with Brandi Chastain. That's pretty cool. And you bring up too, you know, the issue. I mean, obviously representation matters, and it's good for young girls to see the next generation of soccer players playing. But then there are also young boys that are coming to these games too. And I mean, I hope would be, you know, just as excited as the younger girls too to watch you all play and to normalize women's sports in general, that there doesn't have to be this big division of the young boys have to watch the boy, you know, have to, can only go to Charlotte FC games or Charlotte Independence games or something like that. I mean, is that something that's all in your minds when you meet fans after or before the games with who you're talking to?
I'd say I used to, granted, because I've been around the block for a little bit. I used to just be so excited at any fan that came, because we struggled to get numbers. You know, earlier in my pro career, wherever I played, you know, sometimes you'd have just the parents and the families, and it was so hard to see, you know, empty stands when we cared so much. But now that the game is growing, especially 2023, 2024, like the March Madness, women's basketball kind of took off, and since then there's been just this ripple effect, and now a lot of people really are thinking it's the cool new thing to watch women's sports. And we're like, we've been here all along. Of course it's cool. Like, we're awesome. So now we kind of have a lot more fans that come and truly support us and recognize like how cool and fun our environment is, and that you can watch like high level sports, especially in their area. It doesn't have to be a men's team. So now I see, you know, little girls and I think, oh, that used to be me. And then I see little boys in the stand and I think, wow, like that's so cool. They're being raised to see that women are just as important as men. And as much as I would like to believe that that's the case, you know, when I was growing up, we didn't really have that option, even if we wanted to go support women. So it's just so cool to see that people now have all these options and they're still actively picking women's sports and supporting us and, yeah, cheering us on.
Well, what should fans expect when they go? You just talked about the great environment that you all bring. So for someone that's never been to an Ascent game, Jenna, I'll start with you. What should people expect?
I would say they should expect a good atmosphere, a good game. I know that the people behind the scenes put a lot of effort into making it a fun fan experience as well. I've seen little TikToks pop up on my For You page or whatever of just the different activities they have going on, food, little games. I think they even had like a slide or moon bounce one time, and the kids seemed to have a lot of fun. And I was like, I would have fun if I was a fan there. So, but no, I do think it's just a it's a good. It's a good time. Like the girls coming out, even little boys coming out, they always have something for everybody there. So it's always a good game, in my opinion. So I think they can expect a good game and a good time.
Yeah, I agree. I think we also had a couple weeks ago, we had like a Taylor Swift cover band. And we have giveaways. You know, we have towels, we have koozies, anything you can think of. We've kind of been, especially this inaugural year, trying to get the word out. And, you know, any branding is great branding. So if we're giving all these little knickknacks away, and we love them because we also get some. But for the fans to come and get that and then cheer us on, and I think the difference kind of between going back before with the men's and women's sports is there's so many people that go to men's sports, and maybe they're going for, you know, the social aspect of it, or they like to have drinks with their friends or whatnot. But when you go to a women's game, like everyone there is so invested in the actual game and the sport that's taking place, and is just so like locked in and knows the players, knows, you know, the chants, all this stuff. So it just feels like you're really part of this community when you're watching in the stands, and you just go crazy when that goal happens. And not to jinx us or anything, but we play really well at home. So we tend to win and score goals. And that's also fun. You know, the lights go on and off and people dance and you can just see the genuine joy, not just on our faces on the field, but everyone else's around.
That's great. Well, you all take on the Fort Lauderdale United FC this Sunday, June 8th here in Charlotte. What can fans expect? Vicky, I'll start with you.
Fans can expect us to give our absolute all. I mean, we've worked our butt off this whole season to get to this point. And the Shield was amazing to win. And it's showed a lot of our hard work and how we got that. But this is also kind of like a reset. It's just the beginning of playoffs. And we earned the right to host. So we are not going to take that lightly. And we are going to do everything we can to get the results we need to then move on and play on the 14th.
And Jenna?
Yeah, I mean, playoff time is always a very up atmosphere. It's a great environment to be a part of. It's anybody's game. I mean, everyone's fighting for their season to continue. So I think just coming out and obviously being a bigger support system, it means a lot and it helps us a lot to have people backing us. But yeah, I mean, they can expect, I mean, Fort Lauderdale beat us at home last time and then we beat them at home. So really it's anybody's game. I mean, playoffs are a different animal. So I think it'll be a good game for sure.
And the more fans that come and scream our names, we'll just give them more goals. You know, it's just going to happen.
Well, one last question for you all before I let you go. I did want to ask a question about the schedule in particular. The USL is the first women's professional soccer league in the United States to align with the global or European calendar, meaning its season begins in August and ends in late spring, which is where we are now. With such a long season, how are you all feeling right now heading into Sunday's game?
Jen, you want to start?
Well, it's a little bit different for me because I joined halfway through. So I had a little bit of a longer off season after our Spirit ended their season. And so the girls were still playing. I had already been off for almost a month maybe, and the girls were still playing. So I'm not quite feeling the effects of the long season as much as I bet like Vicky or some of the other girls are. So Vic, if you want to talk a little bit more on it.
Yeah, I think exactly what Jenna said is hitting it on the money. We're excited about the season and how it gets to be so long, and it's aligning with the rest of the world, but it is a very long season, and because we're just starting out, you know, there's not that many teams, so we played the same teams over and over again, and that also proved difficult because it's like you have a strategy and then they know exactly what that is. You play them again in a few weeks and you might have to change things. So we're definitely feeling it in the bodies and the minds, but we are, you know, on the physical side of things at work, we're tapering off a little bit because we know, you know, this is the time where you're not really getting any fitter or stronger or faster. You just want to make sure we're going to be at peak performance so we can ideally, you know, maximize how we're going to play in this game to then ideally win for the next game. And, you know, in our minds too, as tired as we are mentally or physically, there's 2 weeks left of our season. So it's also kind of sad in a way, like it's such a long period of time, but it went by kind of fast too. And now, you know, we might as well win the whole thing if we're gonna do another 2 weeks.
Absolutely. Well, Vicky Bruce and Jenna Butler of the Carolina Ascent, thank you both so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having us.
And now we bring in Ashley Mahoney, a reporter for Axios, and Steve Goldberg, freelance writer for the Charlotte Post, to hear their perspectives on the season. Ashley, I'm going to start with you. I want to ask you about, from a business perspective, how has the season gone relative to the expectations, both for the league and the team? I know the inaugural game had a crowd of over 10,000 people. How are they keeping that up?
Yes, thanks for having me, Sarah. And it's been, as you expect with, you know, an inaugural season, an inaugural league, it's not, you know, through the roof just yet. They're not packing out stadiums across the country. You know, like the player said, this takes time. It's not an established league. It's a new product. But the Ascent happens to be leading the league in terms of attendance, according to leaders with the team. They are very happy with where they are. They've established a strong foundation. They've already put some silverware in the cabinet, if you will, by winning the Shield. So they're very happy both in terms of the product that they put forth on the pitch and in terms of how they're doing at the business office. They've told me that, of course, you always want more butts in seats. You always want more people to show up. You would love to have lines wrapping around Memorial Stadium and through Elizabeth and all throughout Charlotte. But right now they're at a good starting point.
Well, as we talked about earlier with the players, the team has this long season. It starts in August and it goes through late spring. How does that impact them from a business perspective?
I think it gives you more of an opportunity to focus on outside of summertime, because summertime, as you see in Charlotte, once Memorial Day hits, everyone is going to the beach, they're going to the mountains, they're spending time at the lake. It is just too hot in the summer. I mean, I don't know about you, but as a child of the North, I prefer to stay inside in the air conditioning where it's a little cooler. So you don't have players who have to suffer through, you know, a 100-degree day on turf. Like Vicky said, they do play on turf. Both of all of Charlotte's professional soccer teams play on turf, with the exception of Crown Legacy, who plays on a natural surface out at the Sportsplex at Matthews. But the physical properties within Charlotte itself are all turf. And turf, if you've ever had to stand on turf on a 100-degree day, it's hot. And if you're wearing black boots or cleats, as you like to call them, your feet are just on fire. So this allows for you to take advantage of not only the time frame, it gives people kind of that natural progression that the rest of the world follows. MLS doesn't follow this, but you have this ability to focus in on when the typical soccer schedule is, if you will. It gives them that break over the holidays, spend time with their families, get a little bit of rest, and then come back and refocus for the spring side.
Well, women's soccer has a greater history than most may think it does. Steve, you're a bit of a soccer historian here in Charlotte. How do you put this Ascent season into perspective?
It's been one of the best that any Charlotte sports team has had going back. You know, Charlotte's been a soccer city for decades. Now, the first championship was in 1981 with the Carolina Lightning. The Charlotte Eagles have brought two national USL titles to the town. But to do it in the first year in a new league is unique.
We're talking soccer. We're talking the Carolina Ascent's road to playoff victory with Ashley Mahoney from Axios and Steve Goldberg with the Charlotte Post. We have much, much more to discuss. We're going to get into the entertainment aspect of going to a game if you've never been. And we're also going to hear more about the Empower Her Fund that last year purchased a 25% stake in the club. You're listening to Charlotte Talks right here on 90.7 WFAE. And on WFAE.org.
Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, incorporating Mazda's customer-centric vehicle design by making the customer the center of business to create a better car buying experience. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.
This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Sarah D'Elia. We're talking soccer and the Carolina Ascent's playoff run with Ashley Mahoney from Axios and Steve Goldberg with the Charlotte Post. I want to go back to you, Ashley, real quick about the business side of this venture when it comes to women's soccer in Charlotte. The goal from the offset has been to have a majority female ownership group. A group of 11 female executives and civic leaders from North and South Carolina formed the Empower Her Fund last year and purchased a 25% stake in the club. How do they plan that? How do they plan to expand that? And how's that going?
So, like you said, there's something that's a little unprecedented in women's sports or sports in general, is that you have a dedicated group that has a plan to eventually have a majority female ownership. So this group, you know, they came along when the idea for the league came about. Obviously, Jim McPhillamy, Dan D'Amico, and the Independents ownership group, they already had a relationship with the USL, with the Independents. So they said, all right, take this opportunity. It's too good to pass up. Let's eventually, over time, make this a majority female enterprise. So they are working with some very well-known faces and figures here throughout the Charlotte area. And one of them happens to be the mom of Vicky Bruce. And when I asked her about it, she's like, I was part of this before my daughter was. You know, she was treading on my turf. So when Vicky was announced as the inaugural player, you know, there is that mother-daughter connection there. And clearly Vicky's, you know, stood up to that in her own right. But with this big picture of what does it look like to have female sports ownership in Charlotte? You're seeing little by little incremental change. It's kind of a reflection of what's going on across women's sports as a whole. It's not happening overnight. It's little by little, this incremental change. So similarly, you'll see just more and more ownership. That percentage will go up over time when it comes to how much the Empower Her Fund owns of the team. So right now, let's just wait and see.
Well, there are a lot of options people have when it comes to sports entertainment in Charlotte. Steve, how do Ascent Games compare to other entertainment options, sports or otherwise, that people have on a weekend in the Queen City?
Well, it's probably one of the best values you can get in professional sports. It's also going to be Charlotte FC games are big, expansive, unique events in their own. The smaller teams like the Ascent, the Independence, the Crown Legacy offer a little more intimate experience, smaller stadiums, closer to the field. You have every fan there has a greater chance of meeting the players if they want to. So they're all good in their own respect and stuff like that. But with the success that the Ascent have shown this year, and even the Charlotte Independence are having a really good year as well. It's a good chance for fans to get out there and enjoy the game in a different context.
Earlier in the program, we heard from two of the team's defenders, Vicky Bruce and Jenna Butler. Steve, how important has this defensive line been, and what have you observed with the defensive chemistry as you've attended games throughout the season?
Well, with all respect to the defensive line, there's 11 players playing defense when they give up possession of the ball. It starts with Mia Corbin and Ellie Hutchinson up front with their high press. It's a collective effort. It's never just the defensive line. It's not that with Charlotte FC. It's not that with any team as such. So that's the advantage of it, is that Philip Poole, the coach, has geared them into a very cohesive unit that does benefit from their off-field friendships and culture. All the players, as they spoke earlier about this, and the players I spoke to yesterday at their training, they all bring that up, is that they are friends. You don't have to be friends to be a successful team, but it definitely is making a difference when it comes to the Ascent. And that's where a player like Mia Corbin is being discussed as, you know, a potential player of the year, because she's a two-way player. I mean, she's been key to the team on both sides of the ball.
Ashley, what's your take on that?
I mean, I agree with everything Steve has said. You don't have to, as someone who played women's soccer, you don't have to be best friends, but it definitely makes a difference when you trust your teammates. I mean, you trust them to have your back. If you miss a ball, you trust them to be there when you're going to play that ball for them. And with this particular group, you know, you've seen just the cohesion and how they've been able to, I mean, this is a team that has 13 wins, six losses, just six losses and nine draws. And that part of what Vicky was saying was that they had kind of that stumble heading into the break over the December period and into November, but they went 11 matches without losing. 11. I mean, think about that, especially in a town that has struggled with sports for so long, to just have the expectation be that you're not going to lose. I mean, that should be the expectation, period. But this is a team that has definitely shown what Charlotte is capable of. And when Philip Poole, who is ironically an assistant coach, who's the goalkeeper coach with the Independents when they first started here, so deep Charlotte roots on his end as well. But when he was addressing everyone back in August before they played their inaugural match, he said, this has always been here. Women's sports in Charlotte has always been here. It's always been a hotbed. It's always been the energy. People are just finally paying attention now. Maybe you want to call it the Caitlin Clark phenomenon. Maybe you want to call it a matter of just more people are paying attention to women's sports. But this, like he said, this has always been here. People are just finally starting to show up.
Steve.
And as Ashley mentioned, the Ascent already had a structure available through the Charlotte Independence team. And what that created was, when I was talking with Philip yesterday, he mentioned that he was the second coach announced in the Super League. And the team hit the ground running faster than most of the others. Many of the teams, like they waited until a month or two before they were going to hit the field to hire their coaches. There are teams in the Super League who have had multiple coaches in the same year. Brooklyn, I think, is on their third or fourth at this point. And that allowed them to start building this culture And I asked Philip about just and kind of comparing them to Atlanta United when they first came in 2017 and were very successful off the bat and then won the MLS title in their second year. I had asked their general manager at that time if they were good or they were lucky. And the truth is, it's always going to be both. The Ascent did an excellent job in putting together their roster. They've had, 27, 30 players. I think, 27 different have logged minutes this year. They've had 15 different players score this year. Mia Corbin, just missed winning the Golden Boot by one goal to Ellie Thornton of Dallas. They were, it's been good. And the chemistry off the field is definitely shown on the field.
Well, we talked, Ashley, go ahead.
So to Steve's point about having an infrastructure, the Ascent came in and they already had American Legion Memorial Stadium. So for those of you who are listening, you're diehard Charlatans or you know and love this venue took a long time to go through a major redevelopment. It reopened in 2021 and the Independents came into the league in 2015. So this is their sibling club, if you will, their sibling team. And they were wandering out there in the desert looking for the promised land for a while. They played at UNC Charlotte. They played at Winthrop. They played at Ramblewood. They played at the Sportsplex St. Matthews, waiting and waiting and waiting 6 years until they got the venue that they were promised. The Ascent got to come in and have it right away. And they have this beautiful 10,000 seat venue, Charlotte skyline, all of the amenities, all the accoutrements, all the things that you want with a club in its first year. They got to come in and hit the ground running. So that, to Steve's point, definitely gives you a good launch pad. It helps a little bit when you have everything ironed out.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you both mentioned that we do have some teams in Charlotte that I won't mention any names tend to break hearts. But Carolina Ascent heads into the playoffs at the top of the league this weekend. What does it mean for the city of Charlotte to have this win potentially coming our way? I mean, what would that do for not just women's sports in the city, but for morale of sports in the Queen City? And Steve, I'll start with you.
Well, it certainly won't hurt. I mean, you got to go back like almost 2015 when the Panthers had their 10-game unbeaten run going through and getting to the Super Bowl that year. And there was an excitement there, but you cannot equate that with, what's happening in soccer with the NFL. They're just totally different animals. But for those who are paying attention, it brings something just to the verve of a city and things like that. It just makes the world feel like a better place when your teams are winning. And we want that for all of them. The Checkers are still, in the playoffs, and that's a big thing. I grew up watching them play with that. And I grew up in a much smaller Charlotte. So Memorial Stadium is very special to me because I used to grow up going to watch Shrine Bowl games there when that was the biggest deal in Charlotte. And it is a great thing. It's much like, where the Knights play and you have that great view of downtown. It's a much bigger skyline than it used to be. And it's a walkable stadium. You have Elizabeth Avenue right over there with a lot of places to go. This is an event that people need to sample. They need to get out to see the Ascent play, to see the Independents play and enjoy that aspect of it. It's a unique aspect and a beneficial one to just overall Charlotte culture.
Ashley, anything to add?
I remember going to the inaugural match and looking at the tickets that were available back in summertime and thinking, oh my gosh, I've got to buy my tickets. Like this is basically sold out. You have to clamor in that excitement of like, you want to be there for the first. And they did, they packed the house out. Attendance did drop off after that, but everything in that atmosphere, you only get one shot at having an inaugural match, whether it was Charlotte FC, the Panthers many, many years before I moved to Charlotte, the Hornets many, many years ago, and so many other teams in this town. But when you have a chance to see, like Vicky and Jenna were saying, when you have a chance to see little girls who get to watch this and not just say, wow, that's cool, I'm watching all of these boys go and play, and not to make it a battle of the sexes or anything like that, but just to see what's possible. Because when I was that little girl, that idea of that Brandi Chastain, that Mia Hamm, Brianna Scurry, whoever it may have been, your only option was you had to be good enough to make the national team. There was no option for you to go and make this your career. now you can come and make this a career. Is the pay what it should be for women's sports? Absolutely not. Does there need to be more investment? Absolutely. But you do have an option. If you want it, if you want to pursue it, you can make this your career. So to me, that's the biggest thing to see, to know that it doesn't have to end in college, because I knew, I was like, my playing days are done after college. There's no way to make a living out of this. So it's there for you if you want it.
Yeah. Well, let's make sure we look to Sunday when Carolina Ascent takes on Fort Lauderdale at American Legion Memorial Stadium. They've been beat by this team and they've beat that team. What threat does Fort Lauderdale pose? What should we expect going into this game? And Steve, I'll start with you.
Well, that's what I mean. It is going to be a very competitive game. Each team has won twice, and they split the games in the first half of this season. Each team won at home. In the second half, Fort Lauderdale came here and actually beat the Ascent. But the Ascent also went on one of the best runs in Charlotte sports history, and they had the 6-game run where they outscored the opposition 21-2. And one of those games was beating Fort Lauderdale in Fort Lauderdale 5-2. And they had, going from that, they ended up having this odd 3-week break that has kind of, they came back, they still played well, created chances, but their scoring has not been as sharp as it was during that run. So that's what they've been trying to get back over the past 3 games. And if they do that, they're unbeatable. As it was mentioned, they've scored the most goals in the league with 45. That's 3 more than any other team. They've given up the least amount of goals, 24, which is the best number by 4 over any other team. So if the Ascent play the way they're capable of, they should move on to host the final here the following week.
Ashley.
Steve, I love that you took all of the stats right out of my notebook. So we can always count on Steve to have the stats for you when it comes to Charlotte soccer. Now, that is a fantastic point that they did go on. Like, of the teams that they lost to, we've mentioned that they've lost 6 times a season, twice that came against Fort Lauderdale. So a third of their losses, if math, you got to pardon me if my math is a little wonky. I work with words, not numbers. You've seen that this is a team that can find their Achilles heel, and Fort Lauderdale can find the Ascent's Achilles heel. So they know how to beat them. It just depends on which version of the Ascent shows up. Is it the version that can't find the back of the net and loses 2-0? Or is it the version that says, okay, you know what? Let's go out and score 5 goals. Why not? Does Mia just go off? What happens on Sunday remains to be seen, but it is a packed sports weekend in Charlotte. You've got Savannah Bananas here at Bank of America Stadium Friday night and Saturday night, and then you've got the Ascent on Sunday. You can have a ball. You can have the best sports weekend in Charlotte if you want it.
Well, as two people that have followed the Ascent's season closely, before we finish out the hour, I wanted to have a chance to ask you both, what have been your favorite moments of this season? Has there been a player that's really stood out? Was there a particular goal that's just stuck with you throughout the season? And Steve, I'll start with you.
Well, for me, I've got to go back to that initial game when they had 10,553 people. It had been a while since I've seen Memorial Stadium filled like that. There was over 20,000 when the Carolina Lightning won in 1981, and that's not possible in the reconfiguration of the stadium. But it's a wider pitch. It's great for the professional game, and it just, the energy there just brought me back to, you know, as a kid with the Shrine Bowls and things like that. It shows what Charlotte is capable of, and when it pays attention to, you know, some of these small gems that are really, really important. That was an incredible moment.
Ashley.
I agree. I remember walking in there and having walked into Memorial Stadium many, many times for other events or matches, if you will, and having it be a sparse, basically empty crowd to walk in and see it packed, to have people, like, you couldn't move, you couldn't get through the concourse, of course, there were so many people. To see that was just, it was the epitome of what this venue is capable of, what people hope to see, and what women's sports in Charlotte is capable of. But it was also, it tugged on your heartstrings a little bit. It reminded me of being a little kid and going and watching the Women's World Cup in 1999 in the Meadowlands up in New Jersey. It was a very hot day. I had on my little AYSO uniform, arm, the foot, the works, but seeing so many little girls there in innocent jerseys. And it's a cliche that every marketing campaign will use of, this is for you, but this really is for you.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there. I want to thank my guests this morning, Ashley Mahoney with Axios, Steve Goldberg, freelance writer for the Charlotte Post. And I want to also thank Carolina Ascent's Vicky Bruce and Jenna Butler for joining us earlier in the program. I'm Sarah D'Elia, filling in for Mike Collins, and this has been Charlotte Talks.
Charlotte Talks is a production of 90.7 WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from Mazda of South Charlotte. Our executive producer is Gabe Altieri. The senior producer is Sarah D'Elia. Our producer is Chris Jones. For more information about Charlotte Talks, to listen to past episodes, or to subscribe to the Charlotte Talks podcast, visit wfae.org/charlottetalks. Additional support for WFAE programming comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people.
Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.